First of all, a warm welcome to all of you here. It has been a warm day, but it's cooling down. Yes. The idea to stand in a circle is, it's not that I'm here just to talk to you. It's just, I'll try to share. And what I'll be sharing is basically what I'm learning with experience, what I read. I don't claim anything original. It's just some sharing, which I think it's really important. The topic for today is called The Long Journey from the Community for Me to Me for the Community. It is always interesting how friendships are formed. And about 3 years ago, on one of my visits to my family in Malta, I took my parents to a nursery. It is a common hobby between me and my father now. And we went to a local nursery at Orme called Derrick Gardens. It happened that there was the owner of the nursery. He is a man by the name of Salvino Gallia. He is an elderly man in his 80s that he happened to notice that I had a badge. And the moment he saw that badge, it seems that there was some sort of attraction. He was asking me where I come from, and then my dad continued, and soon a friendship was formed. But I still remember this man. He is a shrewd businessman. He's a millionaire. And he takes a lot of pride in what he has created. He's got this beautiful garden and he's have these massive trees. He's got a big collection of cacti. And he said, I all grew that from seed. And then he showed us to his, let's say, his something he's really proud of. He had this tree, it's called Magnolia grandifolia. And in Malta, it's not that easy to grow because it needs certain type of soil to grow. And he managed to make a big, he took all the soil off, got the special soil, and he's got this wonderful specimen, which he claims is one of the best in the world. But what I remember from there is that at one point, he just pulled me aside and he said, remember this, he said, the joy of a gardener is in giving. The joy of a gardener is in giving. And I guess it is a genuine quote coming from his lifelong experience. In fact, on our way out, he gave us for free from seed. He's growing a lot of these magnolia, and he gave us a potted, pretty big tree for us at no cost. I take this quote, I would say that the same thing can be said about one of our greatest choices in life. What would that be as us, as members in the society? What would that be? One of our greatest choices in life, something that we keep renewing daily. What would that be? Commitment, yes, our commitment to the society, yes. It has to do with this commitment. And how do we give witness to this commitment? Through our celibacy. Therefore, I would say the joy of a celibate person is in giving. The joy of a gardener is in giving. How much more the joy of a celibate person is in giving. An egoist celibate is what? A contradiction of terms. An egoist celibate, you might say maybe an egoist bachelor, but an egoist celibate does not make sense. Last Saturday, one of my colleagues got married. And I guess this puts him in a situation, he's putting himself in a situation because I'd like to know What makes them get married? They've been living together for a long time. But it puts them in a situation where they have this commitment to each other and that they have to be generous to each other. Otherwise, the marriage will not work at all. I spend, like most of you, all my day with married people. And we come to realize what they do to their family, how much they are committed towards their family. Today, even having two siblings is enough to take all your weekend with sport, with all the commitments that normally young people have in life, and their parents obviously need to taxi them there and wait for them and all the rest. And I guess, from what I can gather and from my experience in my own family, that if a husband is not pulling up his weight, like men sometimes tend to do, they're happy to sit on a couch watching television while the wife is busying around. What is that? What is prone to happen under this situation? What is the wife going to? It gets to a point where the wife will say, "This is enough," and she starts nagging the husband, and she will not stop until the husband gets off that couch and he goes off either to mow the lawn or fix that tap. Otherwise, it will be one massive big argument. However, I guess we ourselves as members of the society, maybe we're not that close to each other as a husband and a wife, and we're a bit afraid of each other. We want to keep the peace. We do not want to irritate each other and would rather let things go as they are rather than point out to the member that he's not pulling up his weight, that he needs to be punctual to our activities, that he needs to help us with the mundane things, like cleaning the center, like mowing the lawn, like keeping the center in order. Unfortunately, because we tend to try to keep the peace, this might eventually lead to members getting to the habit of being happy to be around, but when there is work to be done, these members will just find an excuse and they will not do anything. Yes, I know that there are members who have physical limitations and have some other commitments, but I think each of us need to examine ourselves and ask sincerely, am I pulling my weight in my center? Living together is difficult for human beings. And working together is even more difficult. It seems that goldfish in a pond, they manage to live together without, you rarely see head-on collisions, fish fighting in a pond. Cows seem to manage all right in a field, at least until the bull comes around. But put 10 men together, and very quickly you will face problems. Few people seem to know the laws of community. It takes a long time for barriers to drop, for mutual confidence to form. It takes a long time, and this is important, for non-verbal communication to become more important than words. It's to read the body language of the other member. A community is only a community where most of the people in it have made the passage from the community for me to me for the community. A community is only a community where most people in it are conscientiously trying to seek fulfillment, peace, and happiness to every other member in their community. There are two enemies of community for us. What are the two enemies for community? And I'm just listing two. First are those people, those members, whom in our hearts we see them as our enemies. It can also be those members who in our heart we see them as our friends. I'll explain. The enemy is the one who rubs me in the wrong way. The one I disagree with. The one who criticizes me. Our enmity can have been about a tree that was chopped long ago in the backyard. An occasion where I feel I was treated unjustly. It might be that day that I feel I was ignored. The enemy is the one who annoys me. He is the one who is always complaining that the assignment room is too stuffy or cold or hot. He is the one who wants to go to the same pub that I do not want to go to. The enemy is the one I cut off, the one I do not like. He can be found in every community. And I'm sure that there is like this sort of person who for you is, we are calling in this big word, it's a bit of a big word, the enemy. Welcome, Ray. What are we going to do about this? I think this is to be expected. Because God does not call together groups of people who are naturally adapted to one another. He calls people who are very different in their origins, customs, and ways of thinking. And he asks us to live and to work together because we all believe in Jesus Christ. We all chose a similar lifestyle, and we all have been called for the same mission. Yet, enmity brings destruction to the community. For where there is enmity, there are factions. Community means that most of the people are seeking to love and to find fulfillment of every other person in that community. Whatever their origins are, whatever the way they might want the backyard to look like, whatever the way they think we should be conducting our ministry. Therefore, is trying to bridge over these barriers, that some might be cultural barriers, some might be barriers about how we think. The other enemy of community can be human friendship and sympathy. It can bring destruction if it means the grouping of people together of the same background and the same aspirations, to close off other members of the same community. Therefore, we have to try to avoid or both of these. And I'll start to conclude. Therefore, the road to community is the passage towards the death to oneself and the rebirth of love. And that can be a very long road. It means the passage from one's own personal interest to those of the other, from egoism to love. And let me give you a concrete example, which for you is very easy to imagine. Imagine that center of the society that have an activity starting Friday at 7 p.m. At 6 p.m., members are already picking some young people whose parents either do not have a car, or they do have a car, but the parents do not see a point in our groups. Yes, it is a sacrifice that these members are doing because they have just finished work, maybe at 5 o'clock, and at 6 they are already back on the road. When they arrive at the center, there are already a couple of teens there waiting anxiously for the center to open. And that means something. If there are young people there waiting for the center to open, it means that they like the place. It seems that the members there are giving themselves. That is an indicator that you're doing the right thing. One member is rushing in with an ice cream birthday cake, because one girl that day is celebrating her birthday. Therefore, it's the generosity of going out of our way, asking that girl what she wants for her birthday, and the week before she asked for an ice cream birthday cake, and you got her the ice cream birthday cake. because she might not be getting it for her from her family, because she does not have a family. The center you go in, it looks nice and tidy because a retired member makes it a point that at least once a week he cleans the floor. Therefore, there is this generosity. And he, it's his initiative of coming and cleaning. He doesn't disappear and needs all the time to keep reminding him. Therefore, these are all instances of generosity. Another one, another member, though all this activity is going, is setting up a presentation for the young ones. And the presentation, he prepared it on a Wednesday night. There is also an associate among them whose children used to attend the SDC activities and is organizing some games. You enter that center and you feel a warm, welcoming environment where there is a community of members who genuinely and generously give themselves to build up their community. And for us, we can do that. But it needs sacrifice. And we are all afraid of sacrifice. Of sacrifice of our free time, of our ego, of our cozy corner. And Pope Francis, in his closing homily at the end of the synod, said, "The temptation to come down off the cross, to please ourselves, and not to stay there in order to fulfill the will of the Father, to bow down to a worldly spirit instead of purifying it and bending it to the Spirit of God." And if you know the founder always used to say that the society is built on sacrifice. Take sacrifice away from the society and it will crumble like a pack of cards. He always insisted that what we should be looking at, rather, okay, we go through courses and lots of, but our book at the end of the day is what? Where should we get our inspiration from? The cross. It's the great book, Jesus crucified. And it is only in self-sacrificing ourselves in love for others that we find our call, that we find our meaning in life. And the member will find his fulfillment in self-giving for the love of God. Now, as human beings, for those of us who experience this, it is hard. Because continuously giving of yourself without physically maybe getting as much, it hurts. And that's where the Christ crucified and reflection on the Christ crucified, I think that it's where you really make the bond of love with your God. We must accept that the growth from egoism to love, from community for myself, to myself for the community, is a long and sometimes hard road, paved with joys and sufferings. How do you start this? Because we are all human beings, by accepting our differences and beginning to know one another. That's the starting point. What brings this member sitting next to me peace? What hurts him? What brings him out or plunges my fellow friend into depression? What calms him? What irritates him? You can only know these when you have lived with them for some time. And we have lived together now for quite some time. And some of us still do not realize that every word can either bring peace and leave that person in a better place, or it can wound and raise up barriers. If we do not spend more time in listening rather than in talking to begin with, if we do not watch people's faces to see what brings them peace and what brings them anguish, it is certain that we will hurt others. Therefore, the listening, the learning of body language, the sensitivity. This does not mean that there is no time to challenge members or draw their attention to their shortcomings, but I think unless this challenge or this correction happens in the context of genuine friendship, then the outcome tends to be rather negative than positive. And if we suggest some challenge, we need to be there with them, to see it through with them, and guide them on their way. In conclusion, community is one of the most difficult things to accomplish, but it is one of the most beautiful human realities. This is something the goldfish in a pond will never experience. Cows in a field know nothing about. This is the beauty of humankind. When the Spirit of God has taken hold of hearts of brothers and transformed them from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I would